وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا. وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. إنه كان في أهله مسرورا. إنه ظن أن لن يحور. بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أما بعد، It is a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal to be alive, as there are billions and billions human souls, human beings who are lying under the earth, and all their wish is that if they can come back for a few minutes and repent and do Tawbah, or offer 2 rakat of Salatul Tawbah and go back. This means that few minutes can change your life. Few minutes you can be in a better relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, it takes few minutes to extend and develop relationship with shaitan or your own destruction. You see, shaitan is already in loss, so he has nothing to lose now. All who can lose is yourself. So the one who has the possibility of losing now is yourself, because shaitan already have lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed him until the day of judgment. Wa inna alayka la'nati ila yawmi ad-deen. That upon you is my curse, meaning you are away from, deprived from my mercy until the day of rising. So he is lost already, so he has nothing to lose much more now. So the only person who has possibility of gaining or loss is yourselves, who are people who are living. And this knowledge of deen, as Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahmahullah, he said that all people, all humanity is doomed. They are going towards destruction. That destruction after that which there is no respite or no second chance. And he said, illal, only those people are saved who are alimun, who are people of knowledge, who are people of knowledge. It doesn't mean only scholars, but any person who have knowledge, that sufficient knowledge to attain salvation, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all people are doomed and they are going towards the big failure, where no one is going to accompany them, where no one is going to help them from the people of dunya, from their own relationships. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That day when brother will run away from sister and brother, when father will run away, would not face the son. When the mother will leave her child and baby or son, will not want to face him, or he, children, son doesn't want to face the mother, they'll be running away, even if they meet. First thing is that it's very unlikely a person meets there. It's a so big place, the plane of Hashar and then Hell and then Jannah is also much larger. But even though if they will meet at that day, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ, they will flee away. So how are they going to help you? So all those people who have been placed in your life, your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, your neighbors and relatives, they are not there to give you enjoyment and pleasure only, but really they are there to test you. They are there to examine your reaction, examine your interaction with them, that how you deal and how you act, how you live with them, how you fulfill or do not fulfill the rights of them, of theirs. So, but because sometimes we fall into this trap, we think these things are for, they have been created for us. No, you, they have been created to benefit you and test you in the heavens and earth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah Azza wa Jal is indicating that we, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we have created or made attractive and appealing to you on the face of the earth, be it the rivers and mountains and scenery and all the blessings and the fruits and vegetables and men and women and gold and silver and whatever exists on the earth, they're not for picnic and enjoyment element only. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ, that you, as the word is telling, لِنَبْلُوَ, it is you are going to be tested through them. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that who is best in conduct when they will see all these things. And would they resist the temptation and use them lawfully, or actually they will just dive into these matters? So Imam Al-Ghazali rahmahullah said that the first thing which a person needs is knowledge. So all people are destroyed, they accept the knowledgeable, illa al-alimun. And he said then, kulluhum, all of the people of knowledge are also are doomed for destruction, are going towards failure. إِلَّا الْعَامِلُونَ, but only those who practice their knowledge. So knowledge is never sufficient. He's saying that they will take him even having all that going towards destruction. إِلَّا الْعَامِلُونَ. And then he mentioned, so a person needs knowledge, yes, to act upon. Then he needs to act upon it. And then he said, even those who practices, the practitioners of knowledge, the amilun, also are doomed for destruction toward, and they are going to fail, and they are going to actually be destroying their eternal life, even though they are practicing, they are doing all those good deeds. But he says, إِلَّا الْمُخْلِصُونَ, but only those who are sincere, who are truthful in their hearts, who are sincere, meaning that they are doing all that amal towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, towards the to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any fame and name. And then he said, Al-Mukhlisoon, and people who are sincere, they are always on a great danger. They are brink of a big mountain which they can fall at any time if they become heedless. So yes, the first step is the knowledge, then is the practice which inshallah you are learning, and now I hope you are also entering the phase of practice as well, as this course is designed not actually like any university course or any just madrasa course, as just to give you knowledge and then leave it to you, you do it or not. That was not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. He made sure that people are practicing the knowledge which he is conveying. That is why your institution is called on the name of the Prophet ﷺ, the institution, Muhammadiyah Institution, Jamia, Jamiat Muhammadiyah, that actually. So if it is named after Rasulullah ﷺ, it should deliver also and reflect the comprehensive the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, which was to give knowledge, but then also what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran about the duties of the prophethood? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته. It is he who have sent in Ummiyin, people who did not know, a messenger. What does he do? Yadlu alayhim ayatihi. He recites upon them his verses, meaning informs them of their real purpose of life by through the Quran, gives them the knowledge of the having true vision, a true world view, a reality view of the life. And then Allah Azza wa Jal did not stop there. He said, but this is only the first one, first duty and responsibility of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The second one, wa yuzakkihim, then he purifies, he does their tazkiyah, he purifies them. So knowledge is what you are gaining, your tafsir, ahadith, fiqh, all this you are learning is the knowledge of the book. وَيُعَلِّهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ عِلْمًا حِكْمًا وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and tazkiyah is what you have started properly or about to start practicing and purifying and applying that knowledge on yourself through the course of, that's also named after the Prophet ﷺ. You see, after the name of Allah, the most blessed name is of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Any person who have this name, there is blessing in that person because of that name. Any institution which has that name will be blessing of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam name. Any course which has this name, that course will have blessing. That's why this course is also called tariqah, the way of the Muhammad, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because everything related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has a blessing in there. Even as they say in Jannah, on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the pillars of the arsh, the name of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is written. In Jannah, on the leaves of the trees of the doors of the Jannah, the name of the Prophet ﷺ is actually mentioned. So when you zakki him, that is his major part of the duties of prophethood, that now that duty is on the shoulder of the ummah, that they should do, give them knowledge and purify, meaning facilitate and equip the seekers, the people, the students, the sisters, everyone who comes, how they can strip away the evil habits and other addictions and unlawful desires and temptations and thoughts and other matters, and how they can free themselves from all evil and decorate themselves with all goodness. This is tazkiyah. This is a process of tazkiyah, purification. Because tazkiyah has two meanings in one word. It means purifying as well as it means growing. That when you purify, you grow. Purify. What do you purify from? The evil. You purify from the evil acts, evil thoughts, evil traits of the heart, evil attitudes, evil attributes which a person have picked up from somewhere, and then at the same time then replace them with the good ones. As I was saying earlier on the TV channel, the difference between a jungle and a garden. What is the difference between a jungle and garden? There is a jungle on acres and acres and acres and hectares of land. And then sometimes there are gardens of olives, or gardens of fruit trees, of apples and mangoes and the trees of other fruits. There are acres and acres of land which actually have these gardens. And then there is other place which also have trees and plants, but it's called a jungle. This one also have trees and plants, it's called a garden. What is the difference? They both have plants, they both have flowers, they both have fruits, a kind of fruits as well. The difference between a jungle and garden is that the jungle, when a person is in the jungle, as you see, there are animals, they are very poisonous animals, which can harmful animals, scorpions, snakes, lions, all kinds of animals. So what is the difference? The garden, the difference is tazkiyah has been done, purification has been done. When the jungle has been purified, when tazkiyah, the process of tazkiyah has happened, that only can become a garden. Because to make a garden, you have to root out unwanted plants. You have to root out unwanted trees or which are poisonous fruits. You have to eradicate. And also to clear it from the poisonous or the other animals and reptiles which are dangerous. Then you do that, and then you plant the good trees with beneficial fruits and the vegetables and the flowers, and then you work on that, then it becomes a garden. Similarly is your inner self, your body, mind and heart. It is as though a jungle which is mixed up, unwanted plants, unwanted weed and everything is growing there, meaning bad habits, useless things, even a person doesn't know. It is a mixture, a cocktail there on the inside of the person. And then there are scorpions, meaning jealousy, there are snakes of hasad, there are insects of useless things and trivial matters. And there are other dangerous animal, dangerous qualities of lying, backbiting and all these matters. They are like the animals in the jungle. And then there are the trees of jungle, unwanted, which are not beneficial sometimes. There are some fruits which you eat, they are so poisonous the person dies. So this is the example of a person, an individual, a man or a woman who have not been purified. His whole body, mind, heart is like jungle. When it's purified, it's cut down, and then someone have to work on it. Jungle never purifies himself. You should know that. A jungle is not purified. It needs a person to purify. Similarly, a person, you will not be able to purify yourself. You will need a person, a teacher or a guide or a facilitator who will purify the jungle of your inner self and then decorate it with goodness, good qualities, sabr, shukr, tawadu, the love of Allah, His Messenger, the love and compassion upon creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having all the traits of the righteous. Then it will become garden. Then your inner self will become a garden. Then your inner self will become a garden. So the difference between a tazkiyah is so important, purification, as Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah is saying, because he was a giant, you may say, from a knowledge point of view, giant of knowledge and ilm. But because he said, I had not done tazkiyah, then I was not purified, although he taught in one of the greatest university in the whole of the world, the Nizamiya University in Baghdad, which was like Oxford and Harvard of these time in European universities, and people flocked from all around the world and they came to study there, and he was the chancellor or the head person there. But after years of studying, years of becoming a research scholar, such a level that he was unparalleled in knowledge and wisdom, but he still knew that I have not been purified. So he left his teaching, he left studying, and went into search of this path of tazkiyah, and he found, and then he went in search of a person who can do the tazkiyah of his, and then he returned after many years traveling. But you, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing that in the same institution you are getting the knowledge. Plus you don't have to go and leave and go to wander around in the world to find how to purify it, how to do tazkiyah. As I say, there is only one institution out of 100 which teaches this. And you rarely find it, even whole of the UK, maybe one other, or maybe that you won't find, who offers this tazkiyah part as well. Not only for knowledge, say studying Sufism or Tasawwuf or Tazkiyah or Ihsan or study of Akhlaq and morals, but tells you how to internalize these Akhlaq, how to internalize these traits, how they can become yours. They don't just stay. As someone said, knowledge does not make a person good, only because knowledge can be written on paper. Knowledge can be written upon walls, but character only is written upon the person. Character. Akhlaq only comes from the person. Knowledge of akhlaq you can write on the wall, so it can be written on the wall, it can be on the CD, it can be on the computer. But character, the tazkiyah, the traits, only are actually internalized and also decorated upon a person, a human being. So that's what makes superiority, that's what gives you any fazila, any greatness, any privilege and status over other creation. And thirdly also, knowledge, ilm, does not give you superiority only unless it is accompanied by adab, by honor, by respecting, by giving, having the right etiquette towards Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the mashayikh, the teachers, the creation, the parents, and other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The adab and the etiquette is such a thing that if you see, shaitan had ilm and ibadah, there was no lackness of ilm, knowledge and worship. There's no lackness in there. He was well in knowledge and also worship. He lacked adab. Adab meaning the respect and honor and adab. And when he did not practice adab in presence of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he had knowledge. He was using his knowledge that I am better, I am from fire, he is from dust. That's what the knowledge was doing. If he had adab, then he would have submitted to the command of Allah and bow down to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So even our Mashayikh have said the knowledge, if you have one portion of knowledge, there should be 9 portions of adab and respect. Respecting the books even, respecting the pen even, respecting the sources of knowledge through which means of knowledge which you get. Respecting the teachers, respecting the books, as I'm saying. That student will be gifted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowledge who respects, even though he is not very bright in study, but he has more adab, his knowledge is going to be more brighter, his knowledge is going to be more beneficial. And those students, although they are very bright or very intellectual and they have strong memory or they take good marks in the exams, but in life their knowledge will not become beneficial. Their knowledge will not be of fruitful. It will become fruitless. Although, like prime example I am giving you of Shaitan, that he has no lackness of knowledge. He was like a scholar of studied and who was living in angels and malaika. He has worship. So ilm and amal, he had both of these things. But the thing which was lacking was ikhlas and adab, the respect and honor. And adab is not to benefit the other, it's to benefit yourself. If you honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are benefiting yourself. If you're honoring the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you are doing his adab and respect and manners, you are not benefiting him, you are benefiting yourself. If you are honoring the parents do not benefit from there, you benefit from there. If you honor the teachers, and similarly, even the students of knowledge. Have you not heard the hadith when any person who treads the path of knowledge, who seeks knowledge, who goes on the path to seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's heavenly creation, the creation of light, the creation of nur, malaika, they spread their wings under the feet of the seeker of knowledge, of the talib or taliba, of the seeker of knowledge. They spread their wings underneath their feet, meaning when they're stepping, they put their wings there so that this person steps upon and they gain barakah and blessing from it. Because they can see that how blessed these people are in the sight of Allah. Who is this lesson for? Who is this for? What are we being told here? The lesson is for you that you respect and honor the seeker of knowledge. Honor the talib. So be it your fellow student. If angels are spreading their wings underneath feet, why you cannot just actually be mannerful, respectful in the class, while studying, while behaving? Because this is where you are, it is your training ground. So alhamdulillah, so this is the background, that what you are learning, plus you will be trained how to practice, plus you will be trained how to be sincere through the course of tazkiyah, and also you will be trained how to share this good news, this good message, this good news with others, which is we call as dawah. That's why you have a subject in your class, which is called Tazkiya and Dawah. Tazkiya means Dawah to yourself, and we are inviting yourself, and Dawah meaning to others as well, so to yourself and others. And Alhamdulillah, gradually you will be learning, and inshallah you are learning as well. As well as this is a month of Safar. In this month, it was as though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared for his journey to Akhirah, to abode of Akhirah, to the Jannat Rabbul Alameen, to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many incidents and waqiat are mentioned in the books of Tariq, Seerah, and Ahadith, that what happened. One of the event I would just relate to you regarding this month of Safar and the Prophet ﷺ physical departure, although spiritually Anbiya alayhi salam, they are with us, they are alive, they are spiritually, no one dies spiritually. Spiritually, everyone is living. So, Anbiya alayhi salam, they have very strong life, their bodies are even living, their bodies have life in them. They are given a much higher quality, higher level of life even after death. But that comes upon them, and then they are given another life, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to about shuhada, about martyrs. So one of the sayings of our mashayikh and the followers of Sayyidina Abdul Aziz al-Dabbagh rahmahullah, and his four spiritual forefathers, Shaykh Abdul Hassan al-Shazali and their followers, they narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meeting the Prophet wasallam and asking him about how his departure was. And Prophet ﷺ mentioned about Safar. Safar, you see, if it's with seen, it means journey. But if it's with saad, it means nothingness, like wind also. So he mentioned that the Safar also means to travel like the whistling wind to Allah's closeness. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's meaning of the words which I am commenting on. That it traveling like the whistling, like wind, when you see when it's whistling, it's very fast traveling towards the direction. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, is saying that's how you should be. Fafirru ilallah. Not slowly, but fast. Flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's not much time left. So he said that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam visited me in the month, in this month of Safar. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. He's pronounced two ways, Jibreel. The Quran used this term, Jibreel and Jibreel. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam visited the Prophet in this month of Safar, and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he offered me the means of traveling forever towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I was offered a long life in this world. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you wish, you can live here until whenever you want, or if you wish, you can return to your Lord. I was offered long life of this world to live until the day of judgment, or the opportunity to travel and depart from this world to the hereafter, and he alayhi salatu was, and be forever with my beloved. Who is the beloved of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a choice. He has his blessed wives there, our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, his daughter Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, his companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr is there, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu, all these blessed people On one side there is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam saying this, that you can live here and with these people and also gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, or you can physically also departure from this world and come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be with the beloved forever. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that answer, and the answer which was clear in my heart, he said, I didn't have to think about it deeply. Only one thing he said was that, before saying this, that comes in the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Jibreel, you have come with this command or this offer, but firstly go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask what will happen with my ummah. What about my ummah? If I have that answer, then I will actually give you the answer, that I accept the offer of living here, or I accept the offer of living. Now from this you can imagine that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which thing was in his mind, what was his mind, it is really you as an individual or collectively the whole ummah. And obviously the ummah is made of people, so it is you what is in his mind. You sitting today here, living in this century, you were in the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was thinking that, he was saying, whatever your name is, that Jibreel, firstly let me know what's happening with my ummah, that person, this person, what about them, and then I will. So this was the relationship, this was the love and the attachment he had and the care he had for him. Even though he is on his last days, and he's not asking about Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, he's not asking about his wives, his sons have passed away before him, he's asking about us, me and you, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Jibreel alayhi salam went back and he came, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will not disappoint you about your ummah, I will be the protector of their, meaning collectively they will not be destroyed, collectively they will not, their faces and their bodies will not be disfigured like the previous ummah, or sometime punishment will come and destroy whole of the nation or the ummah of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam. Many a time this happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this responsibility that I will waive these things from this ummah, and furthermore there will be opportunities of tawbah and repentance for them, and guidance for the world. So this was sufficient. So then the Prophet decided, and he before that he went to the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanu Alayhi Majmai. He was very, very, you may say, and ill at that time, severe headache, high temperature, severe headache. But he said to Sayyidina Ali and Abdullah bin Abbas and others, I still want to see my ummah. I still want to spend some time with my ummah in my these last parts as well. Although he could not walk physically, he had to be supported by Sayyidina Ali and another companion. Probably Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu or Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was supported by both sides, and they were carrying as though, and they could see that there was a line being drawn because of the dragging of the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the earth, or on the earth, or on the sand of Medina, on the dust of Medina, because he was not actually supporting his body. His body was being supported by two sides, but feet were actually dragging around it. Such was the weakness and physically at that time. But he, alayhi salam, still came. And he sat on the mimbar, and he stood up on the mimbar. And he mentioned that, oh people, Allah has given one servant of his a choice, either to live forever until the judgment or to go to him. The Sahaba Ikram mostly, Rizwanullah Ajmain, they thought that Rasulullah is speaking about someone, previous ummah, that a pious person, a pious man, a good person in the past, that he is telling us a story that there was a person who was given a choice to live here or actually to go. So they were listening attentively, but Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately, uncontrollably began to weep and cry, and he could not stop his crying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other companions, other sahaba and sahabiyat, because the Prophet ﷺ announced all people should get together. So they were the women of Medina, the children of Madinatul Munawwara, the men of Madinatul Munawwara, and other people as well, they got together. So they were surprised that what has happened, that Prophet ﷺ is telling a story of previous nation, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam is crying, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is crying and weeping. They asked that, look at this person, why is he crying? When was he was asked, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said that the story which the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning is of no one but himself, that he is the one who has been given choice. Now the others became sad very much by just listening to the thought or the notion of separation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays people go into Madinatul Munawwara, they find hard leaving Madinatul Munawwara, they find hard leaving Makkatul Mukarrama. So imagine that those people who had the blessed company, opportunity of to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and seeing him night and day, sitting with him, speaking to him, listening to his sweet voice and blessed words, and doing his ziyarah of his blessed illuminated face, and feeling the blessings, the ruhaniya, the spirituality of his heart, and the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the closeness of Allah which he had in himself. So imagine that, how these people will feel. So they felt sad, but no one was saying anything. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was meaning that he was saying something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in another way. He thought this is the respect and honor and adab of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That what is it? He wanted to say, Ya Rasulullah sallam, review your decision. If you can review your decision, that choose to live with us. But he could not say, because he thought it's against adab, against the manners. So he said in a code word, in an indirect way, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will sacrifice our children, our wives, our wealth, and everything for you. Meaning what he was saying, he was not saying it, but what he meant was that you change your decision, decide to live with us, we will not make you upset in any way. We will not actually let you down in any way, or show any slackness of acting upon your command, or respecting or sacrificing for your deen. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just change your decision, just decide to live with us, and I will sacrifice everything. Although Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such a person that who had already sacrificed much of his life, much of his wealth, and many things he already have sacrificed more than others. So now Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he understood what he was pointing at, because as they said, that he was the most closest person to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he understood him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood him. And what was that? That the Prophet ﷺ answered, he also in a code word, which only I think Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala understood. Because Rasulullah ﷺ didn't want to disappoint Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq as he has requested something from him. He said that, O people, I have paid back everyone who have done any favor to me or upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the deen. I have paid them back. I have rewarded them. I have given them their recompense. Except Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. Oh, on the day of judgment, he will be able to reward him. And but then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, meaning that, O Bakr, you have requested that I review my decision and I stay with you. But the thing is, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if I was to hold someone, a Khalil, who is a Khalil? Khalil is an Arabic word used for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam as Khalilullah. And Khalil means that when with anyone's, if this is your heart, and when the heart is filled with the whole of the love of someone, when there is no place remaining, like the glass is filled with water or juice and no place remaining, they will say that that juice is the Khalil, meaning of the glass, meaning it has filled the glass in such a way that there is no place remaining there. So when someone's love fills your heart in such a way that no place, no space remains in the heart empty of that love, that person is Khalil. So that's why Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is called Khalilullah, that meaning that his heart was filled with the love of Allah, that there was no place as though there for his son or his wife, as you know, he sacrificed everything. So Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my Khalil is Allah, that the whose love has filled my heart and there is no place remaining. And if I was to hold anyone as a Khalil or such a person who would overwhelm and fill my heart with the love, if there was anyone on the earth, it would have been, oh people, it would have been Abu Bakr. It would have been Abu Bakr. So it was a polite way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rejecting his request. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people that, O people, I have lived amongst you many a portion of my life, a large portion of life, 10 years. So they were Muslim, non-Muslim, children, elderly, young men, women, all of them. And he said, because I have lived amongst you, now I have to say labbaik to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have hurt anyone in any way, today is the time, now is the time to take revenge from me, because I want to go into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst there is no burden upon me and there is no claim against me. I want to go fully satisfied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, presence of Allah azza wa jal, says those who I don't have nothing, actually any claim against me. He was a prophet, infallible, ma'asum, they don't have any faults or sins anyway. But this was to teach me and you that if you want, like you were starting the path of tazkiyah, of purification, the course of tazkiyah, before starting the course of tazkiyah, before starting the tongue sheet, you must repent and ask forgiveness from the wrongs which your tongue has done to others. The wrong which your tongues have done to others. And one should not hesitate. If they do hesitate, then remember this incident or this story and or this aspect of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he, in spite of being in such a high position that one cannot imagine how high it is, and he is asking forgiveness from ummati who are compared to him, their position is much lower. One cannot imagine more difference than a person sitting in the heavens and someone sitting on the earth. More difference than that. You still will be are equal or somehow good or better or little bit lesser to other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like other human beings. You are human being, you are not a prophet, you are a normal person who do right and wrong now and then. But the Prophet did never do a wrong. So he still is asking forgiveness from people. And people are crying and weeping upon this actually, that they are so upset. But still there were some people who stood up for claim. One said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I was touched or hit by a stick when on a war expedition, when you were straightening the safs and row, the safuf of in the war, and you were saying that straighten up, and by saying this your stick touched me, hit me, and I have this claim. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you may actually take the revenge of this. So this is a lesson for us, that how much you should hold yourself, how much you should bear when other people are speaking ill, or when you have done something, that not to actually go on and on justifying yourself. No. He would have said, I am the Prophet of Allah, I am leaving you, I've taught you Kalima, I've given you Iman, I've given you Quran, I've given you Sunnah, I've given you Jannah, and you have all this now. Just actually, and I was not even doing that really, I was straightening. It was the state of war we were in, and you have this claim. So she's teaching that we should have not this justification behavior, that when you ask someone why you didn't, they make 101 justification, 101 excuses. Oh, this happened, oh, shaitan came to me, oh, I was angry, oh, I had a mood swing, oh, I had this and I had that. You can say many things, but then you are really not doing any good to you, because that evil is going to stay in you. And when a person admits, this is the first release of step to release yourself from that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, yes, here is you can come and take revenge or whatever you think, however it is appropriate. So he said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you were there and I was there, at that time I didn't have anything on my body. My upper body was naked, and your body is covered with blessed mantle, blessed chadar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even took off his blessed chadar, and then he said, I want that stick to take revenge which you used. At that time that stick was not with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was given as a gift to Sayyidatuna Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha. She was keeping the asa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Sayyidina Bilal, as he was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that go and ask Fatima to give me that stick which I gave her as a gift. Sayyidina Bilal went, Ya Sayyida, see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your father is asking about that stick, asa, that staff. She said that he's been given gift to me, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning never asks back once he gives something. What is it? So he said, actually, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this announcement, and then there's a person who claims this, and he wants to take revenge. Sayyida Fatima Zahra said, yes, that is his right, but he has sons. This is Hassan and Hussein, 7, 8, 9 years old. And Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, she said to Hassan and Hussein, go and with your uncle Bilal, and go and try to please that uncle who have a claim against. Say to that uncle that our grandfather Rasulullah is not well in a position, so, and you, we are his sons, so we are part of him. As he said, Al-Husaynu minni, Hussein is from me, and I am from Hussein, and Fatima is from me. So he said, we are part of him, so he can take his revenge. Instead of one stick, he can hit, say, Sayyida Fatima said to Sayyidina Hussein, that so you can hit 10 sticks, each of us, and we will be happy, we will have no claim against you, and you actually this. So they went there, and also with Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and still that person, that companion, he said, no, I will not take revenge from someone who have not hit me, only I'm going to. And then he was given the opportunity to do that, to come near Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's a lengthy story what happened after. Then another person, then Prophet the second thing he said, if there is anyone who I owe any money, I owe any property, I owe anything which I have borrowed from him, he should claim as well, anything to do well. That's why we say that before starting the course of tazkiyah, a person should ask forgiveness or return any monetary rights, financial rights, or at least do a contract or a deal with them, and ask for, or otherwise ask forgiveness. And then also to the rights to do with physical harm, which we already covered, the monetary. Another person stood up, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you owe me 3 dirham, or like 3 pounds, we say now, or $3. $3, 3 dirhams, or 3 pounds. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I do not say that your claim is false. I do not actually falsify your claim. But please remind me of when, from which incident I owe you 3 dirhams. Because here Islam Islam was clear that he did not owe anyone anything. So imagine that you, that lesson is there, that the claim is not, you may say, in the right or the proper. But Prophet Islam knew, still he is not saying to the claimer, oh, you are false, you are just having a joke, you don't know you nothing, etc., etc. No. So sometimes people claim, just ask them, just be patient and let them speak. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, okay, what was there, when was from it, what, from which incident, from which transaction? He said, there is no transaction, nothing. It's only once you were sitting in the Masjid al-Nabawi, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a poor man came and he asked for some money. At that time you have distributed all of the money, there was nothing with you at that time. And you asked me that if you have some money, give him. So I gave him 3 dirhams. Where is that money? Now that claim was not really a correct one, because Rasulullah ﷺ, he gave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Allah's way with his permission. And at that time the Prophet ﷺ was not borrowing from him. But still Rasulullah ﷺ remained silent. He said to Sayyidina Bilal, give him 3 dirhams. Give him 3 dirhams. And he gave him 3 dirhams. So this shows that in worldly matters, in petty these matters, one should not dispute with each other that you gave me this on my birthday, I gave you this, you called me this and I am doing this, etc., etc. Like our people sometimes do indulge, and because of that then they develop grudge and other things about these matters. Although they are not claims, they are just actually manifestation of greed, simply. So he alayhi salatu wasalam gave him as well. Then he alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned that if I have harmed the honor, if I have spoken anything, tarnished the honor, reputation of someone, they can also stand up and either they can take their revenge or forgive me. So these are the 3 rights of people, upon every Muslim. Their physical, their life, meaning not to harm, not to, if one have killed or harmed, one must actually ask forgiveness from them. Second is do with finance and monetary and money. And thirdly, to do with honor. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another person stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pray for me. I oversleep sometimes. And it's another mention, he had find the right time, because this was the last time, well, as though they saw Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have nifaq. I have hypocrisy. Maybe he had hypocrisy, maybe he didn't have, but he thought so. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu saying that, oh, you are showing your hypocrisy in front of people. Rasulullah said, silence, O Umar, silent. This is also meaning my ummati, he has mentioned, and Prophet prayed for him, Ya Allah, purify his heart from hypocrisy and fill it with iman. And this was like the last word and the last request which the Sahaba Kiram Rizwanu Alayhi Majmain was making from Rasulullah. And then the Prophet prayed for the Ummah. He said, Azzakumullah, O Allah, may Allah honor all of you. Azzakumullah. This was on the mimbar, his last words which heard by the collective Sahaba and Ummah. After that they never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a community, as a whole. He said, Nasarakumullah. He did dua for all of his ummah. He nasar, that may Allah honor you, may Allah help you. Razakakumullah. May Allah provide you sufficiently. And he first, then he said, Oh, waddi'ukum wa aqulu lakum salam alaykum. Now I say farewell to you, O my ummah, and salamun alaykum, be peace be upon you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his member, and he said that after that, when he responded to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, that I have now chosen to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have given the message to my ummah. And he mentioned many other things, and one important thing which he mentioned, which I forgot to mention, that as he was doing this, he began to weep very loudly. And the Sahaba Ikram Rizwan Ajmain, they were surprised that Rasulullah is already ill and he's already weak, and now nothing has happened, no one has said anything, but why is he weeping? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? Has the illness overwhelmed you? Is the pain unbearable? Rasulullah said, no, now I am the weeping I am now, which is happening, is because I am seeing you and seeing that how I have delivered the message to you, how you have received my company, how you have lived with me, how you have listened to me, how you have benefited me. But by seeing you, now I was thinking about my ummah yet to come who have not seen me, and how they will receive this message, who will convey this message to them like I have done to you, in spite of under the shower of arrows and under the shower of stones were thrown at me, still I was delivering the message. Who will deliver to them? Who will deliver to them with such sincerity, with such sacrifice, with such selflessness? The women and the men of the Sahaba Rizwan Ajmain, the female companion, they all said, Ya Rasulullah, stop crying, do not weep on this matter, because after you, we will sacrifice everything, and whatever is in our abilities, we will travel, and we will let our men travel. And the men say, we will travel to the corners and the edges of the earth and the deserts, in the sea, in the island, in the everywhere, wherever we can, to deliver your message to your coming ummah. And then the Prophet starts telling. And then another incident took place at that time. It was a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just in the last days, a lady who gave a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she saw on a very beautiful clothing, a jubba and a mantle and a imama sharif. They were all white. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing all white, and it was one of those occasions, he first time he wore new clothes. Otherwise, mostly he was wearing patched clothes and was not very fond of that, to wear those in dunya. Not that he did not have, he was offered the mountains to be gold of mountains of Makkah and the mountain around Medina and the Uhud mountain, but actually he turned it down. So he was, when he was delivering, that his clothes were looking very you must say wonderful. Not the clothes maybe were not so wonderful, but the, because they were on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, they were looking very beautiful. Like some people they, and so he alayhi salatu wasalam was one companion stood up. He said, I have question. He said, I like these clothes. And Rasulullah was on his Minbar Sharif pulpit. He stopped his khutbah and his house was just like a few yards from there. He went into his house. He took off his clothes and actually settled them. And wore his old patched clothes and came and presented that actually to the person as a gift. He gave it. So that was his love for his ushman from the worldly thing. And the companions then liked those clothes so much that they said that we will prepare. They prepared other 3-4 outfits, 3-4 jubbas, very new, very with good quality. He used to wear normally wool, clothes made of wool. So, but those clothes never had the opportunity to be on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he passed away before wearing. So those 2 or 3 clothes remained there to be with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they could not be there. So that was the last moments. And then furthermore, there are many things yet to say, alhamdulillah, which I cannot say because the time is up. But as I was in the tour of America, there people, mashallah, new Muslims, others, they had lot of, you may say, thirst for deen. That one place I went, they wanted they to listen to 6 hours, or 5 to 6 hours, yes, lecture on upon the tazkiyah, upon the teaching of Rasulullah. And I said to the organizers, are you serious that they will sit for 6 hours? He said, yes. And when I went there, they did sit. And then after that, another was, they said, we want another place, they said, we want 8 hours. 8 hour disco, 8 hour lunch, from Zohor to after Isha. So I said that you are to organize it again, that people, they said no there. And these were mainly new Muslims, other people were learning, non-practicing Muslims who were trying to learn practice, some scholars obviously, ulama as well as we came. So the time which we are spending is really nothing. But anyhow, this is also a great privilege. So alhamdulillah, I will be giving you through the year discourses on the path of tazkiyah, of purification, which is the most important subject, because without this subject nothing is beneficial. All subjects are, you have 10 subjects. How many subjects you have is, there are 10 subjects, and this tazkiyah is like one in those subjects. So like you have number 10, 1 and 0. If you take this 1 away, only other 9 remain 0. They are not beneficial at all. So if you take, you see 1 and 0, 10 is written, if 1 is taken away, what remains? 0. So all other subjects which you are doing, their example is of 0. They are very valid. When tazkiyah is there, tazkiyah is number 1. So 1 and 0 become 10, you are winning. And if you remove this, if you don't practice tazkiyah, you don't implement the other teachings of the 9 subjects, it's as though 0 will remain. And on the day of judgment, all this knowledge will be, instead of in your favor, it will be actually against you. And now alhamdulillah also, you have opportunity to learn dawah as well, how to give dawah to family, how to give dawah to friends, the neighborhood and other people, which you mashallah did a wonderful conference. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you more barakah. And you are planning for another one. And there is another conference coming on 26th November. You can also participate. That's organized by, for, that's for males mainly, but women sisters can come. There's a holiday week and they can come and have a meal and also listen to the international scholars as well in Manchester Nawab restaurant. By all means, they can come. And so I would say that you especially sisters, have more responsibility on their shoulders. They have more right upon Rasulullah than men, because when Prophet was passing away on his bed in his last days or last moments, he didn't remember men, he remembered women. He said, "I look after the women and the poor," meaning the ulams, the slaves, and he mentioned about salah, and amongst those things actually was women. So remember that you, on your shoulder, as daughters, as mothers, as ummati of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, have more right that you should learn his mission and internalize, practice, manifest his vision in you, and then reflect that vision and that dawah until you live, and inshallah then you will see he alayhi salatu wasalam will be waiting for you in barzakh, waiting for you to come, die and come into the barzakh, sitting in his blessed feet. And on the day of judgment, he will be waiting for you, holding the drink of Kawthar, house of Kawthar. And actually, for those people who work for him and who participate in his mission. Now, there's some time actually left, so I'll just leave it for question and answer if you want to ask anything. Otherwise, then we'll just do a short dhikr, just to give you initiation and permission of that who wants to start, who have intent to start, to inshallah, then we finish. Brother Nuralif, if you can pass these dates and sweets to the sister, they can take whatever they want. Just put it under the on the other side, they will take it from. So you can. Allah. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. What about the question? Allah. Verbally, you can ask as well. Inshallah, if you come closer to the curtain, you can ask. As the knowledge increases of a person, should the purification journey have increased? And if it hasn't, what needs to be done? You need to, meaning start the purification journey of the course of the tazkiyah purification journey, and learn those amal which you need to do to advance. There are five amals which your teachers can mention to you, inshallah. So that's what you need. If it's, that should increase gradually as well, purification. That's why in the first year at least you cover the seven organs of purification, then the second year the purification of the mind, or if you've done, and the third the purification of the heart and enlightenment. Or if anyone wants to progress more rapidly, good and well. Also, now do we make sure that the teachers may happy with us, as we are a reflection on them, and is there harm spiritually by displeasing them? Yes, as I mentioned actually that the teacher or any person who teaches you, elderly person, especially the teachers, they have higher adab, meaning the more adab you will have, then the more heart and memory and your mind will open to knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you personally to attain knowledge, to manifest that knowledge. And this is, as I said, then one part is knowledge, nine parts is adab. So now do we make sure the teachers remain happy? Happy with us, meaning you are not doing any favor, you are not buying suits and actually bangles and jewelry for the teacher to make them happy. It is, you are doing your own benefit. If you are do your homework, if you learn whatever hadith you are, or you listen attentively, you do not involve yourself in and use less talk and in the class, you are not doing a favor to the teacher, but really you are doing favor to yourself. But yes, if that with that the teacher becomes happy, then good and well. Yes, Manchur. And there is harm spiritually by this, because then the knowledge will enclose upon you. You won't, the heart will not open to knowledge, and plus the knowledge will not be fruitful, and you won't be able to practice the knowledge. There will be no blessing in your knowledge. So respecting and honoring teachers, as well as actually how your behavior should be with colleagues and with at home with mother and father, as they emphasize, they're very, very important. No matter they are kafir, they are disbeliever, whatever, still it's their right that you honor them, you do their khidma, you ask them, you massage their feet, you actually look after them in whichever way you can, because they are a greatest blessing. They are manifestation. As someone, one of the mashayikh said, if someone want to see mercy of Allah and Rasulullah in flesh and blood, he should see the mother. And at least similarly, the father is also a shafaqah as well. So that's why they manifest the mercy. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that them. So inshallah, making them happy in lawful matters, not in unlawful matters. If they say something wrong to do, then you must not do. So really, if you learn here, it's of no beneficial, if you, the home, the family is not seeing the change, the positiveness, and your gentleness coming in you, or your sense of service coming in you. Your homework is not of a good, even if you do not do, is not so much harmful if you are not serving the parents at the home. They need to do something. The house is unclean, the clothes are need cleaning, the someone needs service. That is utmost important. That you need give to prayer, because that's what you are learning. All other things are means for that, actually. So yes, and amongst them is teachers and other things, inshallah. Jazakallah. If there is nothing, though, then we will just finish on the dhikr. You can just repeat after me. Or is there any other question remaining?
There's no more questions.
Okay. So now I'll just pay attention. Just a few minutes, we will do the initiation dhikr, how you will do in the course and tazkiya, inshallah. So you just follow me in that, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه اللهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله.
Now we recite together.
لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا
صلاتنا ودعانا وحاجتنا وذكارنا وجميع عبادتنا يا أرحم الراحمين.
وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه صلاة وسلاما تفتح لنا باب الرضا والتيسير وتغلق بها عنا باب الشر والتعسير وتكون لنا بها وليا ونصيرا وهادي يا نعم المولى ويا نعم النصير. اللهم إنا نسألك خير هذه الليلة فتحها ونصرها ونورها وبركتها وهداها ونعوذ بك من شر ما فيها وشر ما بعدها. وصلى الله على النبي أمه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاك الله ما شاء الله. May Allah bless you, reward you for your attention and time. You may leave and go upstairs now if you wish. استغفر الله.